Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
WGN 438. Thanks for tuning in. John Landecker and his job. And we're going to get skunked because I got a person here whose favorite, Rebecca, is, are skunks your absolute favorite animal?
Hi, John. They truly are.
Oh, really? How did that happen? Well, it's Rebecca Fife, and she knows everything there is to know about skunks and pests and things of that nature, and that's what we're going to get into now. And we're going to, if you have questions about skunks and pests and anything of that nature, 312-981-7200. I have to start with a story. You ready?
Yes.
All right. It would have been maybe 4 or 5 years ago. The weather had changed. I was living in a more rural environment than I am now, and I was commuting back and forth to Chicago to work. So it was cool. The temperatures had gone down, and I'm driving on the Dan Ryan, and a mouse starts walking across my dashboard, came out of somewhere, found a opening. It was a tiny little mouse, and it just started walking across in front of the steering wheel. I'm driving down the expressway like, I don't know how fast I'm going, and suddenly a mouse is there because they burrowed in, right, because of the weather, and they get in underneath the hood because it's warm there. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. So what happened with your mouse?
Well, good question. I had to ponder for a moment. What was I going to do? I mean, he wasn't being aggressive, or she, I shouldn't make an assumption, not aggressive mouse. In fact, looked a little scared. So I gently pulled over to the side of the road, found some grass alongside the expressway, I don't even remember where it was, and just opened the door, and sure enough, the little mouse exited the vehicle, and who knows where it is today. But seriously, I mean, woof, driving down the expressway on the Dan Ryan, you get a mouse. Where'd that come from? Yikes.
That's amazing. And you're a prince among men for showing so much empathy for that little mouse and letting it to the grass on the side.
Well, what am I going to do? I mean, what other option was there? Let it drive? I mean, I don't know. And then you would find also like in the trunk and some other places, if you had left something in there, chewed up bits of, looked like cotton. I guess they were what? Making a nest of some kind?
Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
Yeah, and mice are actually really attracted to wiring when they're underneath cars because when they're out in nature, they cut grasses to help form their nest. So when they get into the engine compartment in a car, sometimes they'll chew the wiring. So will squirrels. So I'm glad you let yours off onto the side of the road, didn't let it hitchhike any further because it might have chewed your wiring if it stuck around.
Well, I got to be honest. I looked in the rearview mirror. It was standing by the side of the road with its thumb out. So I don't know where it is now. So tell us about, you know, we're going to talk about skunks, right? Because people are smelling skunks these days more than usual, I believe. The aroma is around and it's unmistakable. And, you know, what are we going to do about skunks? If you got questions about that or any other West Nile mosquitoes, Rebecca Fife, Director of Research at Landmark Pest Management, State Certified Urban Wildfire Expert, Wildlife Expert, and last but not least, Mushroom Hunting Hobbyist. So that's a full title and we're going to do more. But right now, let's check traffic and weather. Here is Mary. WGN 446. It's John Landecker and his job, and we're talking skunks and other great topics with Rebecca Fife, a state-certified urban wildlife expert. Let's go to the phones already here at 312-981-7200. We have Dolores. Good afternoon, Dolores. Welcome to WGN.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a problem with stink bugs.
Stink bugs.
Hi, Dolores. Are
Hi,
they bothering
how are you?
You in the? I'm very well, thanks. Are they bothering you in the garden by ruining
no,
your vines?
No, in the garden they're enjoying the summer weather, but as soon as it gets cool, they start marching into the house. Now, this is the second year that I've had them, and I can't find anything that'll kill them. And the only way is if I do it one by one.
What?
Yeah.
One by one? I can just imagine what that's got to be like.
Oh, they'll fly around in the kitchen, and I have a gallery kitchen, and they hop from one cabinet to another up on top.
Yeah, I have a few dozen of them that come into my house every fall as well. And when people call us about stink bugs and we tell them that stink bugs aren't an infesting species, they say, what are you talking about? There's dozens in my house. How can you say they're not infesting? But what we mean by that is that they don't eat or reproduce in your house. Basically, they get lost and come in. They're not that smart. And they usually overwinter under the bark of trees, and now they've mistaken your home for a tree, for tree bark to overwinter. So they come inside. There's nothing in your home they can eat. They can't lay their eggs in your home or reproduce because they only do that on leaves outdoors. So really, the dumb things are just lost in your house, and the best way to deal with them is to vacuum them up. There are some pesticides that can be applied to cracks and crevices around doors and windows and the places they're getting in, but actually that's not a great thing to do. It's really better to just go ahead and vacuum them up. So while I don't think you should have to put up with them being in the house, I think suck it up with a vacuum is probably the best advice.
Yep, suck it up. I've heard that before.
Yeah, in more ways than one. True. But they are so annoying because sometimes if they miss flying, they go into your hair, and it just all of a sudden you look and there they are looking at you. It's kind of scary. They seem to like my fireplace.
Yeah, that might even be how they're coming in.
Thanks for calling, Dolores. I appreciate it. That stink bugs. You know, I just occurred to me, Rebecca, while we're listening, I was listening to the caller there, that these stink bugs are actually quite polite if they don't eat. They don't eat or reproduce while they're in your home.
That's true. And even though they're called stink bugs, yes, they smell pretty good if you squish them. I think they smell like almond extract. They're not really that stinky. It's kind of an interesting smell.
So they don't even deserve the name they have.
Oh, that's true. Maybe we should call them aroma bugs instead.
Let's go. I wish everybody that came into my house didn't eat and reproduce. Let's go to Carol. Hello, Carol. Good afternoon. You're on WGN. Hello.
Hi. I've got a problem with chipmunks that are all running around my yard. Should I be concerned about them doing any damage?
Yeah, maybe you should. Do you have bird feeders or do your neighbors have bird feeders?
I don't have one, but my neighbors do.
Okay. Do your neighbors have a seed catch tray to catch the seed that spills so it can't get to the ground under their bird feeders?
You know, I don't really know. It's back in the back corner across my yard, so I really don't know. I have a shed in between this. But I mean, when I'm reading on the patio, I mean, these little chipmunks just are flying across the yard. And I try to see where they're going, but they move so fast I can't see them.
Yeah,
I mean, they
Yeah, absolutely. The problem with chipmunks is that they burrow up against the foundation or against our paver stones or patios. And then in the winter, water can get in there and freeze and expand, and it can undermine our sidewalks, our walkways. So you don't want to have too many chipmunks. And we find when people really have a lot of chipmunks that either they or their neighbors have bird feeders that are lacking trays to catch the spilled seed. So maybe for Neighbor Appreciation Day, you can give your neighbors a coupon to a bird feeder store, and they get a nice modern one with that seed catch tray and get rid of the old-fashioned ones that are feeding the chipmunks.
All right.
Mm. Or, should I put anything? Is there an alarm? Or I heard that there was some kind of a noise thing that you could put outside to make them not like the noise and show to my neighbors.
You know, noise things don't work. Really, your only option is to reduce the population through trapping. So there's a program you can have where multiple traps are set and remove them from the area. That's really the best bet to keep the population under control, other than simply just, you know, not letting the neighbors feed them without mentioning to them that maybe their bird feeders are contributing to the problem.
Oh, okay. Thanks for your help.
Thanks,
my
Carol.
Pleasure.
You know, I might have to grant equal time to Chip and Dale after we're done with this. You know, you mentioned, or I mentioned earlier, and you confirmed it, that skunks are your all-time favorite animal?
They truly are.
Now, how did you arrive at that?
Well, it's a bit of a Robin Hood situation, really. Skunks are a plague of affluence. So the nicer the neighborhood, meaning the more sprinkler systems are in the lawn and beautiful plantings and the fancier we make our lawns, the more the skunks love them. Because in areas that are, you know, not as affluent, that have kind of hard-baked lots and less cared-for lawns, they're less well aerated and they're not a good home to the skunks' favorite food, which are beetle grubs. So I love that skunks are a plague of affluence. It's just so funny that the nicer you make your lawn, the more likely you are to have skunks there foraging.
Well, you know, skunks, the aroma seems to be prevalent now more than previously. Is this a seasonal development? Every time this time of year rolls around in the affluent neighborhoods and maybe other places, the skunks come out?
Yeah, definitely. There are more skunks than there were in 2015. So we track year over year how many skunks we capture, and we're capturing about double a year the number we did then. And the skunk populations are climbing in our area, but we know the reason why. The reason why is that skunks are subject to a lot of wildlife diseases like rabies, leptospirosis, distemper, and right now those disease levels in their population is extremely low. They're just really healthy skunks right now. But it's sort of a pendulum where those disease levels are going to swing back the other direction, just like they have many, many times throughout history. And then the skunk populations are going to have illness sweep through them, and they'll be knocked down to a more normal level. So it's a problem that's going to self-correct. It's just we happen to be on the end of the pendulum swing right now that's on the high population end.
Well, maybe I'm going to have to give equal time to Pepe Le Pew. You know, isn't it wild that Walt Disney has come up with a character for chipmunks and skunks, and we're talking about them now? I don't know what that means. Maybe nothing. How about Linda? Let's go to the phones. Linda has a question about and a problem with foxes. Linda.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi. So we are in a neighborhood, and we have a fox that comes into our yard every night. And we're wondering how to deter him from coming into our yard. We don't have a garden or anything. We don't know why they want to come into our yard.
Do you have a dog?
We have a cat. And okay. She used to, you know, go out on the deck into the yard, not leave the yard, but she won't even go outside anymore because she, I think, can smell that the fox is out there. She did come face with it one evening, but, you know, nothing happened. She just growled at it, like, and came running in.
Well, you
know,
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Linda. I'm sorry, Rebecca. Go ahead.
Definitely keep the cat inside for a few reasons. First is for the cat's safety with the fox around, but also for the safety of ground nesting birds. Cats aren't native, so they're sort of a top predator that's not really supposed to be outdoors. So it's good to just keep them in. It's better for the local ecology. But that fox that's in your yard, there's probably nothing you can do about it passing through. You might just want to enjoy looking at it. The problem is when skunks decide to live under your deck or stoop. They are a bit of a creepy tenant when they do, because they eat you know, dead raw animals that they hunt, and they tend to bring them home. So they start to store them under the decker stoop, and it starts to really stink, and they kind of litter the yard with carcasses, and it's pretty gross to have a fox under your decker stoop. Wow. And in that case, we'll trap and humanely relocate them to a place of suitable habitat. But if they're just passing through your yard, there's really nothing that you could use as a deterrent. You can try putting motion-activated lights in your yard. Those don't usually work. You can also try motion-activated water cannons that hook up to your garden hose. Those can be effective when, you know, animals are hunting around your koi pond or just kind of bothering you by passing through.
Right. Thanks for calling. Motion-activated water cannons. Wow.
Yeah, I have a koi
pond. That sounds like a good time, if you ask me.
I have a koi pond by my front door, and great blue heron were eating my koi, so I set one up. Boy, was the UPS guy mad at me. He said, no more packages until you take that thing down.
You know, you're always very informative and entertaining, Rebecca. Thanks for being with us this afternoon.
You're the best, John. Thanks.
Thanks. Rebecca Fife, man, she is just a wealth of information. It's sort of like the Tom Skilling of the pest world, if you will. I mean, you bring up any topic. Oh, yeah, I know all about that. Sure. Mm. Well, coming up after the top of the hour, we're going to take a little trip to see what kind of trip we can take. We're going to talk about traveling with you-know-who. That's right, everybody's favorite travel person here at WGN. That would be Peter Greenberg, host of Ion Travel, Saturdays from 3 to 6, and he's also a travel editor for CBS News. Plus, next hour, how you can help a multi-year labor of love, a woman trying to put together a documentary about Dick Biondi. We'll tell you all about that and more when we come back. But right now, in just a few minutes, we're going to go into we're going to see Kim Gordon in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.